week, Solidarity Briggy team listener, when after weeks of heaping praise on Lord Rupert of Wapping's unbiased coverage of the genocide and slaughter and destruction, and on behalf of all of us, Annie, our listener, and me, congratulations, Lord Rupert, on this week's marriage, as opposed to last week's and possibly next week's. Lord Rupert has to be the most attractive nonagenarian in the world, but sadly, weeks of heaping praise on this week, we must be critical, but I'll come back to that. A week when the Fair Work True Blue Aussie No Longer Work Choices just looks like it commission threatened the delicate flower that is the economy, with a 3.75% wage rise for the lowest of low paid, a major threat which could have been worse, but for our old mate Innes, will cost the workers of the True Blue Aussie Industry Profits Group. We'll recall last week we reported Innes's wise suggestion that the lowest of should have any wage increase discounted for the cornucopia of riches they received in the budget, tax cuts, an energy rebate, and a small rent assistance increase for welfare budgets. Okay, the lowest of won't receive the rent assistance, but what the hell, Innes knew it would still cost them, and we satirised it, but again, satire became reality. The Con Mission took Innes's advice and discounted the wage increase because of the government cornucopia, effectively wiping out the one or the other, so the poorest of the poor end up back where they started, leaving poor Innes to bemoan that the discount wasn't nearly discount enough. The 3.75% was direct quote, someone on the high side underestimating the challenges facing caring employers doing it tough. Oh dear. A couple of weeks ago, when Innes proffered his compassionate discount proposal, big economic guru Jim Chalmers Capital, who knows people are doing it tough, countered that the government handout should not erase caring employers' responsibilities to provide a wage rise for the poorest of the poor, showing that Innes carries a hell of a lot more weight than Jim. As a positive, the end result is balanced, because while the lowest of low pay go backwards in real terms, the filthiest rich of the filthy rich benefit heaps from their tax cuts and energy handouts, even if for them the energy handout is but petty cash. So in the end, it's life back to normal, win-lose. And more exciting news for the lowest of, the poorest of. Reserve Losses Bank Supremo Michelle Bulldust warned the massive 3.75% increase could lead to another interest rate increase, highlighting the irresponsible selfishness of worker greed. Let's face it, listener, if the evil unions, if the evil ACTU really cared about the good of all of us, as caring employers and the caring business class do, they would beg the Fair Work Just Looks Like It commission to slash wages, which Innes and the sundry chambers of profits know would make those workers better off. Given caring employers always tell us, no matter the state of the fluctuating capitalist economy, tell us, when workers seek an increase in wages and conditions, the time is not right. So is anyone listener prepared to bet that one day, someday, caring employers might tell us, good news, the time is right for a huge wage rise and improved conditions. I'm happy to give you $1,000,000 if you want it. Now, our reluctant need to criticise Lord Rupert of Wapping in this big week in his personal life. All the other wives and offspring must get so excited every time he heads down the aisle. Reluctant need, magnified by Thursday's True Blue Aussie Capitalist Review P1 sensation, Greens Damned Over Hate. And I couldn't wait to get to the Lord Rupert of Wapping sin. Lord Rupert will have a ball with this one, I thought, and then P1, no. P2? No. P3? Well, page after page. No, no, no. A perfect opportunity and not a word. Get your mind off sex, Lord Rupert, and get back to what you do best. Don't go cold because you got the hots. Give your editorial lackeys, or sorry, balanced objective reporters, a big, big spray, missing so patent an opportunity. especially when big supremo Anthony Albanese and caring business class party supremo and would-be big supremo Constable Peter Duffer joined forces in exposing such hatred, hatred that attends, worse, addresses militant, violent, pro-Palestine, non-land, non-people rallies, pro-Palestine axiomatically anti-Semitic. And we know they're violent because Anthony and Pete and Lord Rupert tell us they're violent, so there's no need for little insignificant matters like facts. Violent, anti-Semitic, unlike, say, those Zionists rampaging through East Jerusalem screaming, death to Arabs, may your villages burn, this land is all ours, from the river to the sea. Peace-loving, rampaging hordes. On the other hand, when the pro-Palestine militants chant from the river to the sea, they are anti-Semitic, a chant the government plans to make a crime when chanted by the hate, hate, hate Greens and those they support, a matter of fact when expressed by the love, love, love Zion and Zionists. The violence and hatred are bored by Anthony Albanese, who told Parliament he has fought all his adult life for justice for Palestinians, a fight that since the slaughter began has bypassed us completely. In his case, thankfully, that does not make him a militant, violent hater or anti-Semitic. Fought all his adult life. It is tragic that the legitimate aspirations of the Palestinian people are undermined by some people engaging in activity that completely alienates the true blue Aussie people. Presumably, true blue Aussie people other than the thousands and thousands at rallies and activities all over the country supporting those aspirations, but obviously Anthony, lifelong fighter for Palestinian justice, and they certainly get justice, Zion style, Anthony knows the way to express that support is to do absolutely nothing other than supply arms to the slaughterers, defend the slaughterers' right to slaughter and destroy and occupy and attack those who oppose the genocide. If you want to help the non-land, non-people, don't protest, don't support them. Penny and Co. backed Anthony's attack on the hate, hate, hate Greens, and by inference, all who oppose the genocide, and Pete, well, Pete is Pete. People opposing war are shredding the fabric of our society, like you know. Yes, what does social cohesion mean, Pete? We can't have, you know, like, social cohesion until, like, everyone agrees with, you know, like, me, and supports the genocide, supports Zion's right to, like, you know, do what it likes, like, you know, thanks, Pete, pleasure, like. Sure, we've noticed an interesting piece of lexicology. They now refer to militant protesters. Non-land, non-people who oppose the occupation and destruction are Palestinian militants. But the military, who occupy and murder, are simply exercising Zion's right to defend itself. On defending ourselves by offence, True Blue Aussie is casting the net wide to drag in cannon fodder from all sorts of places because, hard as it is to comprehend, young True Blue Aussie cannon fodder is drying up. Young people are not all that enthusiastic about killing and being killed. Senior trained killers nailed the problem. There is not enough unemployment. Create lots of unemployment and the cannon fodder will turn up. See, they're all morality, these senior trained killers. On the other hand, it's just possible that just maybe young people are getting smarter and don't fall for the glorious dead bit. The True Blue Aussie Capitalist Review held another of its summits, this time on ESG, shorthand for Responsible Environmental Investment. Now, a feature of all these summits is the participants all represent the big end of town, the filthy rich. Never do they consider even one participant representing the workers who make the filthy rich filthy richer, because they know caring employers have the flexibility to represent their workers. They know what's good for workers. But anyway, the conclusion was that we can't rush into saving the planet. The government's climate targets, like net zero emissions by 2050, another 26 years of frying the planet, even allowing for net zero emissions, meaning fossils will still happily go about their business of business, is too challenging. there are too many barriers, expressed cogently by Jemina to destroy the gas and electricity giant. Rising geopolitical risks should prompt a rethink of Trubluwazi's energy priorities to elevate supply reliability and affordability above the net zero transmission, it told the summit. Yes, we can't afford not to destroy the planet. The filthy rich fossils nodded, needing some reassurance, having turned up at the summit still reeling from that crippling wage rise for the lazy avaricious lowest of low paid. And would have been even more cheered up same day, productivity from lazy workers' commission chair Danielle would say that, wouldn't she, declaring billions in corporate welfare for the resource industry was not corporate welfare, but a tax policy. Further, she urged yet another cut to the corporate tax rate, that's the one they don't pay, would deliver a cornucopia of riches to all of us and raise trillions for the public coffers. That reducing the tax rate would increase the tax take. That sort of logic explains why these people are worth every cent, every million of their huge salaries. Finally, one filthy rich and enabler of his filthy rich mates, Indian Supremo Narendra Modi, persecutor of millions, predicting a massive election victory, came unstuck, despite doing all he could to jail opponents and intimidate opposition election campaigns. Narendra Modi, feted uncritically by Anthony Albanese, by lovers of liberty, freedom and democracy generally, perhaps something to do with being next door to evil China, hear no evil, see no evil, speak no evil. And we suspect when the electoral dust settles, it will be the same old modi operandi. Good morning.